kid up in college, not in casual career.
Good afternoon, Phil and Christian.
Good afternoon, and Dave and Peter.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Kennedy said, I'm not in the house. candidate again can inform me about who I've been, I can inform my candidate. This is a JFK philosophy. And I just want to make this point clear. Because I think this can help a lot in terms of combating crime. 2.2 maximum community impact as well. Thank you.
On page 56, on the top post, 2.2. responsible for 30 promotions. The left one required for Manchester United, 11 of more there, and 11 of more. Why left one for UISS? Also, the issue of departmental agencies and accounts. Left one required for UISS payment for EPWP volunteers. Can you please give us more details on the bottom line? And then my last question will be on page 56, chapter 2.5, community policy relations. Left one required for community for the CPF payment. Now my question is CPF is facilitated. Why? Because you are saying that left fund required for community is 310 and then you put it to additional funds required for catering in relation to the conservative workshop. What is important between CPF and catering? Or is the department telling us that the safety of the community is not so important but catering is important? Thank you.
You can see I've been covered a lot, but this page 57, and that finally waste time before Christmas, sub-program 3.1, it's 15 there. And then on page 60, what is this combination of safety initiatives have, such as what we discussed in the and we can get some information on that. I think the others are going to be offering.
And then I'm moving on page 60. That account under program 1 is the 1.5 million for safety strategy, communication, and different development staff initiatives. What is the staff initiative? And that completes the rest of my question.
I'll start with front page 60. On our next we started off obviously with the aim speaking about the whole of society, and I think I agree with him absolutely that I think our two-day safety workshop, that was exactly what it was about. And I think all the initiatives that the government is busy with is understanding that it's a whole of society. Now the specific department's role is an oversight role. We are not in charge of police services. We have an oversight role over there. But what we can do is we can help bring the partnerships together. So just as CPFs or neighborhood watches are an important component in helping the police do this job, and we want our time. That is kind of where this department oversight. They have a look at what's happening in our police stations, where the shortfalls are, what needs to be done there, and then are we supporting that whole of society approach in our department. And it's not only those, because there's other departments, and I think over time we'll see even more work coming into building a safer Western Cape where, for example, it's the first 1,000 days of a child's life, and the impact that has on the overall outcome of crime, which was a really interesting presentation done at the Safer Western Cape conference, or early childhood development, or the role of education plays in safe education, so in safer schools. But it's also social development, it's health, it is every single government department, it is linking national, provincial to local, and then of course a big role played in civil society. And so you will see quite a lot of civil society coming through specifically in the adjustments. So that links through to the principle, and I think what we've been doing in government for the last while is really starting to bring all of those together. And obviously my past portfolio, but also how do we bring the partners together to get maximum outcome for the residents that we serve. And so the sort of the same thing applies in all ways. I'll talk to some of the money. I'll let the HOD and the CFO talk to some of the money, specifically in those, and maybe we'll get my concern out of the way, and then I'll let some of those slack. And then go to page 60, where that really kind of sums up many of the interventions that our agency have brought in the last few days. So first of all, let's have a look at the Cape Government Staff Initiative. Now, I presume this committee is aware of the letter that the cabinet wrote to the minister. This is a request. Well, if you're not, I'll make sure we get a copy of it. Cabinet has written the minister, the But the first one, program one, that 1.5 million, in that letter, we have got 84,000 staff in our province. And police stations are under severe pressure, and sometimes under pressure when it comes to things like just getting affidavits signed. And so this project is about how we get and empower our government officials to play a part in helping police stations in the area that they live, or where they are actually able to volunteer and help with relieving some administrative pressure, or even helping with perhaps taking some of that load of police stations with regards to administration like affidavit time. And government officials from level two are commissioner of oath, so all government officials. So you could be at any part of this province as a government official. You can set up within the map of this money. So setting up those desks across this province so we can start to help with relieving pressure in our police stations. The second one, civilian oversight. The first one, which is 5 million rand, which goes also into the vulnerable question, talking about social unrest. And we have seen now, over the last while, we have seen unrest in Kapo, we've seen unrest in the Overstrand region, we've just seen it in the Saldana region. And what this is looking at safety initiatives across the whole province. And this fund will be divided up going to different municipalities. I have had intensive discussions between the Premier, myself, and Chris Nissen, for example, on how we make sure that we have programs and plans in place to mitigate that risk. Because, of course, every time these unrests occur, we see infrastructure destruction. So clinics and libraries are destroyed. That eats into the next person's clinic or library that we have on the list. And so if we can mitigate that risk, that's what this one is about. The next one is the safety kiosks. And so safety kiosks are already on site spread across the province. How do we make those safety kiosks safer? And what are one of the big issues that we are picking up in reporting crime? And that is that many of our volunteers specifically do not have airtime to report crimes or to send through photographs of cable theft happening or whatever it is. And so this project is really how we get creating the enabling environment for risk mitigation. And so putting Wi-Fi linkages into these spaces that we have already got in place and how that can create more of an enabling environment, specifically the private sector or the public sector. Our volunteers out there and anybody in the general public having a free entrance fee just simply help us reduce risk. Then in program four, the canine unit, I think one of the lion's share of this extra funding, and definitely because it's driven by me. I've only been a few days in this portfolio, but walking the streets in our gang hotspots, drugs are destroying society. And we've got this, finally got this anti-gang unit in place, which is really good. Obviously I will be meeting and communicating with General Lincoln as much as possible with me from an oversight point of view, but also saying what else can we do to help. And this is how I would like to see us also adding value. Having sniffer dogs being able to do extra support to go in behind not necessarily only staff but also our traffic officials who would check it with a license, but now in that roadblock we can also at the same time check with deliveries. We can start to narrow down or zoom in on the supply lines of drugs or film or whatever it is being involved in that illicit trade. So that's what that dog unit is about. For the safety and security technology, I think that is where the Minister's advisor and I definitely are on the same platform in the same space. It's about how we use tech to enable crime fighting. And this again is we as a province, and with my previous hat on, we invested into incubators like the incubator Kailucha or the one in Elsie's River. How do we use those incubators, but not only those incubators, How do we create a platform that young techies can actually start to help us with solutions now in fighting crime rather than health tech or fintech or these other areas? And we are recognized now as the top tech capital of Africa. But how do we start influencing that tech? So a small amount of money there just to enable that environment so we actually empower young entrepreneurs to come up with tech solutions. Then the last one then there is under paragraph 4, 2 million for professionalized medical watches. And you will see that we are really within the department in really enabling medical watches from funding point of view. We are just talking about cabinet. Treasury as we come to the next cabinet meeting. And this adds to that. That's an existing program. This adds to that. And if I think what happened in that TDEC conference, but also in my own, myself I've served on the neighborhood watch for more than 10 years. And I see an ability in neighborhood watches across the province. You'll find certain neighborhood watches are totally self-sufficient and they have the latest tech. They've got from number plate recognition to body cams to vehicles. And other neighborhood watches are community people out there looking after their own community, but they don't have a torch or they don't have a jacket to recognize the country. And that's what this fund is for. This fund is how we create an environment where we professionalize the neighborhood watch system, how we enable that neighborhood watch system. And the first meeting actually happened yesterday, where we started interacting with another volunteer organization called NSLI, and we started unpacking how they evolved over time what they've been faced, and we will be doing a couple of those exercises within the department, working out what is it that we should be doing to allow or to professionalize these organizations so that they are resourced, they have standard operating procedures. For example, colleagues spoke to last night at the CPO forum about insurance. These are the kind of questions that we have to ask as we get these organizations professionalized. Then the civilian oversight, 5 million. This is also a request to the national minister on how we can help create safer neighborhoods and safer schools, and that is us making a contribution towards the resistance so that we actually are funding that system. And then some of that discussion with the regional and final, so that we can start to help make sure that wherever possible, we have an oversight role, but we also have an enabling role in supporting civil society specifically. My comments back here in this case, we know that the discussions keep on saying that we do not have sufficient budget for the services.
Thank you, Minister. I think we also, just in terms of a little comment, Jay, what Minister did not touch on is the 6.2 million in revenue retention, and that is an over collection of revenue in the previous financial year. 5 million is being set aside to pay for the stipends of police reserves to be called up during the festive season. So we're talking about 195 police reserves over the 32 days peak period of the festive season, and another 1.2 million is transferred to Solana as part of the Warzone project. If I can then page by page see if we can answer or respond, please see if all the gaps we can get. Page 53, Honourable Member Diana, in terms of that understanding on the provincial policing, the 2.1 million, that is because mainly of the vacancy of the ombudsman that was there for about 8 months, as well as this is one of the vacant director posts that we currently have in the department. Our vacancy rate is within 7%, so we are well within the provincial norm of vacancies. I must also say, Chairperson, as we've reported before to the committee, we are almost done with the modernization process, so some of the vacancies are a bit on hold pending the finalization of the modernization process. So we did surrender some of the money to Treasury, but the overall net effect is an increase of 8.4%. I think saying also in terms of the CUF payments, we have a budget for CUF and they have to apply for the money in terms of what we call project funding, but they must also then submit their monthly reports on the EPP. So we are making all the payments as they qualify and as they continue to perform. I can mention that, Chairperson, we have over the last 3 years constantly seen an increase of about 20% in the amount of money that we are able to transfer to CPS whilst maintaining the audit standards and requirements. I think then, if we can go to page 54, the less funds on UIF, ma'am, is mainly the payment to the Chrysalis youth that we make. And there it is a bit of the Chrysalis youth, as you know, fluctuate in their numbers. So they graduate every plus minus 4 months. There's a group that graduate, and we keep them on the program for 12 months. But we are seeing some of the youth that actually leave the program before the 12 months, and that is why the small adjustment of 50,000 rand in the UIS UIA. Page, if I can jump to what I've noted, page 57, Honourable Member Christians, in terms of the less funding to Chrysalis. So again, the budget for Chrysalis is not affected, it is an issue of timing. So we were able to, before the end of the previous financial year, transfer just over 2 million rand to Chrysalis, which then in this year is reconciliated and we are reducing the transfer, but the overall budget of Chrysalis is still there as per the submitted business plan, approximately 13 million rand. Chairperson, then page 57, again, less funds required on the stipend payments. I think there we just need to also note that as we have mentioned, we're moving away from the payment of individual stipends, so it's basically only the Chrysalis youth that are currently paid individual stipends. Neighbourhood watchers and CPF are paid for performance, payment for performance. So that's not an EPWP. But remember, the overall budget continues to go. So it's just a shifting of the payment model. And Minister has already dealt it, I think, with the page 16. I'm not going to go into more detail there. CFO, I don't know if there's anything that you would like to add, maybe just 64, page 64, and that's the 2.9 million there. Ma'am, that is money that we are giving, passing on to CEI, the IT, for the development mainly of the school security risk tool that has now been developed and that was also adopted in Proctor. So currently we work on an Excel spreadsheet. We are now putting that electronically and then also included in that 2.9 million. So it's 2.4 million that will be transferred to CEI.me and 500,000 that will be transferred to DCAS, Cultural Affairs and Sports, as part of the Kailicha alcohol loss reduction community activation program. Next,
a kind of support
in relation to this aspect of the security of school actually. And the last one, Chair, is allowing to get effective kiosk. And the Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi limitation. How is that going to be overcome, considering that there are so many of the safety kiosks that are found at the police station because there's no volunteers to make it? So I would just think of the Wi-Fi is going to be effective and distributed to those places.
I'm regretting to regret to 54, but I link directly from 57. It is under transfers in subsidies, taken from the office, non-profit institutions, where he has an increase of, and additional funds required for transfer, that's from page 57, for the youth and religious safety program. Now, I just wanted to get clarity on the issue when we talk about NGOs or non-profit institutions, of including neighborhood watches, community policing forums, and other safety measures, and this youth religious safety program, does it stand loose from these entities that I'm mentioning now, that they fall more in the line of youth diversion programs and youth capacity programs? Because I'm the actual question that I ask is the outcome. Not only the results ended, but in terms of real outcomes, because it's an input-output model. We are being credentialist, but in terms of the youth and religious safety program, how effective is this being initiated?
On the issue of the funding of the staff, remember we're talking about different categories. The first is the reservists. These are reservists that are vetted and appointed by the police. That is current active reservists, which we know currently by standards of the police must work 16 hours as volunteers. And the money that we make available then is to have them, especially over the festive season, work additional hours, mainly at your shopping centres and also supporting the police on that. The deployment, as Melissa said, of provincial staff, that is then in the development, but it will be similar to, for instance, staff participating in the wellness programs of health. And so it won't necessarily be with a direct payment. But it will go with branding, and we need to mobilize the troops and so on. So we'll, in this financial year, already starting then with our own staff, the plus minus 300, including our security staff, to see how we can deploy them at those police stations that are severely under-resourced. And again, as I said, not to perform any policing functions. All that they're going to do, and we have a study on, a lot of the people visiting our police stations will visit them, especially over the grant payments. They will visit them to certify documents, which in law can be certified by almost all of the 84,000 employees that we currently have in the Western Cape government. So that will then be the approach on that. The question on the safety kiosk, yes, some of the safety kiosks, as we noted, they are active, for instance, over the weekend when there's people going to the beaches. They're active when they have specific programs. So what we are looking at and the proof of concept that we are on the table, ultimately will start, they will need Wi-Fi enablement, which we know now about the internet and people want that access to the internet and so forth. If I can go to the questions of Honourable Member Kibido, page 54, and say that non-profit institution starts first, is then especially then for the neighborhood watch payment. So when you look at our transfer payments, we have a number of main categories, and that also goes to your question on page 57. So the additional 564,000 on page 57 is then for, because we've got more applications for youth safety and religious programs for this December. So that pushes up the total budget to just about 6.7 million. But our transfers, chairpersons, are made mainly to neighborhood watch systems, to community police forums, chrysalis, the religious fraternity through our YSRP program, and then a few of the alcohol harms reduction programs. But again, chairperson, the increases in the transfers are then driven by the additional funds coming into the department, and especially then for the neighborhood watches.
Thank you.
Yes.